time for overtime.
Ready for this?
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Now to Giannis. Giannis with 50 in two of his last three now. Pulls up. 15-footer. Yes, sir!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the Friday edition of Overtime. I'm your host, Burt Ramin. Bronny James is an L.A. Laker. LeBron James is an L.A. Laker for now. The NHL draft comes into full focus and some interesting finals, to say the least, last night in the WNBA. Those are just a few of the storylines as we crank open this Friday edition of Overtime. Opportunity to win big. And I'm not going to lie to you folks out there. If I were a caller, if I were a listener, this week would be the time to call. A huge prize pack today for the High Noon Showdown. A bigger prize pack later on through the weekend for the Friday Parlay. I got Twins tickets for the home weekend. Homestand there for the 4th of July weekend, the 6th, the 7th, and further out in the month of July. Up for grabs in the near term here on the show. Twins tickets up for grabs in the Friday Parlay this weekend. And the High Noon Showdown, listener against listener, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. That, no surprise, coming up 1 hour from now at noon on a Friday. Also on today's show, USD Athletic Director John Schemmel will swing by here in about 10 minutes on the show. We'll rewind the NBA draft, sights and sounds from round number two last night, including Bronny James to L.A. and all of the trades hitting the wire this morning and late last night. Multiple trades sending marquee and not-so-marquee players across the league. We'll let you know the pair of trades that the Minnesota Timberwolves made yesterday as well. Latest from the NFL. Are the Kansas City Chiefs moving to Kansas, or are they staying in Missouri? We'll get you the latest info there. Hour number two, High Noon Showdown, Friday Parlay Live, and a massive soccer game coming up tonight here in Sioux Falls at Bob Young Field for Sioux Falls City Football Club. Lulu Moreno, one of many forwards on the squad, will join us in studio at about 12:30. Can't wait for that as we open it up on this Friday, June 28th edition of Overtime. Sights and sounds as we go into your scorecard. First things first, you couldn't miss and perhaps couldn't have been less surprised about Bronny James' destination last night. It was made up for a long time that Bronny James would go to the L.A. Lakers. First round or second round, Bronny James, second round pick of L.A., and Rob Pelinka says the young man has a lot of qualities that we look for.
Bronny is, first and foremost, a person of high character, and second, he is a young man that works incredibly hard. And those are the qualities we look for in drafting players and adding to our developmental core at the Lakers.
And he forgot the third point there, that he is the son of current Lakers star LeBron James. Again, it's a match made in heaven. We'll wait to see how often Bronny and LeBron are on the floor together. It's a really cool story. I say it tongue-in-cheek, but it felt pretty darn predictable. And depending upon who you asked and what reporting you trust from yesterday, the agent, Rich Paul, for Bronny James was dictating where he would go in a very, very stern manner. And according to Pelinka, he goes on to say they're already working out details on Bronny's involvement with the team.
It's an honor for us to add him to our program. Coach Redick is already excited about putting a development plan around him to increase his basketball skills and turn him into the player that we think can impact and help this franchise.
And to be fair, Bronny James is an NBA-level talent. Some people said probably doesn't deserve to get drafted after an up-and-down freshman season, lone season at USC, highly touted out of high school. Obviously, with the name recognition, that goes a long way. But Bronny James certainly has the tools to succeed, will need some refinement and plain and simply just some more time to sharpen his saw in the NBA. Jay Williams offering this up on what is next for his dad, LeBron James.
A lot of this league is about fit, and a lot of this is also around the opportunity around Bronny for what it does to LeBron. Yeah. Now that we drafted your son, LeBron, where are you going? Are you going to give us a family discount? How do we move this ball forward?
I would imagine that has already agreed to, that has already been going ahead and detailed out with LeBron James, Bronny James, Rob Pelinka, everyone there with the Lakers organization. If we do this, do we get you long term? I would imagine that's already worked out with LeBron James. If Bronny had gone somewhere else, I know LeBron James was likely to do the same, or not likely, but rumored to do the same. I would say it's at least a 50-50 proposition. Now, I would be floored if LeBron James departs this offseason from the L.A. Lakers now that they have Bronny in town. Major League Baseball finals from yesterday. The Chicago Cubs in extra innings find a way to get the job done. 5-3 winners against San Francisco on the road.
Happ drives one in the air, deep right center. Back goes Ramos near the center field fence. That ball is gone. Two-run homer, Ian Happ, just to the right of straightaway. Cubs lead 5-3.
Cubs would win at 5-3 in extras. Win number 38 on the season for Chicago. They are 38-44. That audio courtesy of WSCR. Big start yesterday for David Festa in his call up to the show. He earns the win for the Minnesota Twins. 13-6, the final out in Arizona. Twins playing good baseball. They're now 45-36. Here's Rocco Baldelli on the young arm getting the win.
I thought it was a solid outing from him. The meat of that outing was good. I mean, he threw a lot of good pitches. His changeup looked good. He ran into that inning where they hit a bunch of singles. You know, some of the balls were hit okay. Some of them, you know, were just hit. They found grass, and, you know, we were able to keep him out there and allow him to work through five innings. And he just kept doing his job. He stayed at the task very well. And I think there's a lot of things to be very happy about with him. Again, we got a chance to see what, you know, everyone else has already gotten to see with him, the really good stuff, the good arm. He held his stuff pretty good today.
And again, David Festa, his call up to the show ends in a first win of his career. 1-0 the record for Festa as the Minnesota Twins continue to keep pace with the Guardians. They are seven games back, but in second place of the AL Central. Cleveland 51-28, Minnesota 45-36. Quickly, other finals on the scorecard. White Sox won against the Braves yesterday 1-0. Cincinnati beats up on St. Louis down in St. Louis 11-4. Cleveland lost to Kansas City 2-1, and Detroit blanked on the road against the Angels 5-0. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins will be in action out in Seattle. 8 o'clock pregame, 8:40 the official start time. Twins weekend schedule. Saturday, it's a 9:10 start, 8:30 pregame coverage. Sunday, a little bit early for the getaway contest, 3:10 the start time, 2:30 pregame coverage. Listen to Twins baseball all season long right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Really quickly before we go to break, quick foray into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. The Sioux Falls Canaries put the finishing touches on a three-game sweep of Lincoln with a 6-2 win yesterday, which was the 300th win of manager Mike Meyer's career. Meyer joined Steve Shirley as the only managers in team history to achieve 300 wins. Mike Hart ripped an RBI single in the first inning to open up the scoring before Josh Raywald crossed home plate on a wild pitch. Lincoln scored the next two runs to tie the game before Raywald belted a go-ahead 475-foot home run in the bottom of the fifth. Final score, Sioux Falls Canaries 6 and Lincoln 2. Manager Mike Meyer, 300 career victories. The Canaries are now 25-15, and they'll welcome in East Division leading Kane County for a three-game series beginning tonight and a 7:05 first pitch from the Birdcage. As always, sfcanaries.com. Just Canaries on Twitter. Follow along. Get out to the Birdcage this weekend for some top-tier baseball right here in the 6:05. We take the break and update all things University of South Dakota. Athletic Director John Schemmel is 6 months into the job. We'll talk about what's ahead, dive into football season, recap spring, and talk about some individuals making some waves in the Olympic area of competition. We'll dive into that and so much more. USD Athletic Director John Schemmel next on Overtime.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Back. back with you on this Friday edition of Overtime. Always great to keep tabs on our outstanding local athletic programs. USF, Augustana, South Dakota State, and of course down south in Vermilion, the USD Coyotes. And athletic director John Schemmel joins us now on the ESPN hotline. John, I know there's a lot going on. It seems like a quiet time of the year, but I know that college athletics never truly rests. You can ask any coach that, and they'll tell you it's a full-time job year-round, 24/7 these days. And I know it's no different for the athletic department. How you doing today? Thanks, as always, for the time.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah, it's definitely a year-round thing, and I always have people ask me this time of year, you know, when can you sneak away? And honestly, when you can find afternoons here and there every couple weeks, it's a good time to sneak out. But other than that, we're full go all the time and about to turn the page in July, and then you blink and it's football season. So it goes quickly.
And I can't wait again for that aforementioned football season. Should be another great one for USD Coyote football. Head coach Bob Nielsen. When it comes to the athletic department, you guys are kind of closing the book on spring and heading into summer. What's new? What's occupying your time these days?
Well, you know, the nonstop changing in the NCAA is probably top of mind. It seems like we have a different set of rules each day, and of course there's the house settlement that's looming, and you know, we're all trying to figure out what that means, and that's of course if it does settle, and there's still a chance it won't. And so it's just causing everything to turn upside down a little bit in our industry, and you know, shoot, I think even our student athletes are incredibly confused, and all of a sudden, I know we've had student athletes thinking, you know, does this mean they're going to get a bunch of money? And obviously, we're pretty heavily subsidized departments at our level. So, you know, trying to educate them and understand, or have them understand, you know, the differences between us and a revenue share versus someone like Alabama's a little bit different. So there's been a lot of that for sure. And like I said, it seems like every day there's something different coming up.
All sorts of challenges on the horizon, but obviously a lot of the job is looking forward, but occasionally you get the opportunity to look back on the great history there in Vermilion, University of South Dakota. Hall of Fame announcement for this upcoming class has been made. The induction will be in late September. Tom Compton, Ramsey Fitzsimmons, and others. How important is it to you and the athletic department to honor the past athletes, teams, coaches, and contributors there down in Vermilion?
Yeah, it's incredibly important. I think, you know, honoring our past is always hugely important for us, because I think sometimes we all get so caught up in the moment, we forget about some of the incredible team and individual successes we've had here in the past. And athletics is such an immediate gratification type thing, and it's you're only as good as your last game. And so it's always important to recognize and honor the people of the successes in the past. So we're looking forward to a great class this fall. And it's always a hugely important part of our tradition. And I think trying to continue to build on those legacies and build on those relationships is certainly going to be a priority for us moving forward.
For all your latest USD Coyote news, look no further than GoYotes.com. Talking with USD Athletic Director John Schemmel here, Friday edition of Overtime, ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Talked about the past. How about the present for a couple Olympic hopefuls? You got J.C. Pulse, current athlete there at USD. She's into the semifinals for the 400-meter hurdles at the U.S. Olympic Trials. You got Chris Nielsen, Emily Grove, that are athletes of the past there at USD, already qualified. How important and how impressive is that to see these Yotes shining on the world stage?
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's so cool, Chris and Emily in particular, they're still training here, right? I mean, we've kind of built this program and they're actively engaged, but also, you know, training here. So they're still connected with our program. So it's really cool to see them continue to push the envelope and try to represent themselves and certainly the Coyotes in the Olympics. And then, yeah, JC has just been awesome to watch and continuing to, you know, set new heights for herself. And to see her get this close is really exciting and certainly a lot to be proud of from Coyote Nation for JC. So we're rooting for all of them. And, you know, even though Emily and Chris aren't going to school here anymore, they're still very well connected with our programs and with the Vermilion community. So it's a lot of fun for us right now.
Certainly is a highlight of what some would deem as a quiet time of the year. Everybody's getting geared up for the fall season. Football schedule is out. And I wanted to ask you about the schedule because you guys early on, you have, and I mean this with the respect to the programs, you have a game where you're playing up and you'll be at Wisconsin early September and a game that you're playing down, but an area team against Northern State. Kind of paint the picture for me, because I know these schedules are set pretty far in advance, but if you had it your way, is this something that you'd like to have on a football schedule every year, the opportunity to play a bigger school and also a smaller regional foe? Is that something that's ideal for you in the program?
Yeah, I think the interesting part this year when I got here was we actually had an open week in our we hadn't finished the schedule yet, so we were a little bit tight, and then the NCAA actually changed a rule that allowed Division II to start a week earlier, and which was great for us to and for Northern, I think, to be able, you know, the opportunity to bring in another Regento school was meaningful for us for sure. And so we're excited about that. And yeah, I think, you know, objectively speaking, yes, you would like to have a good balance in your schedule like that. And obviously heading into Wisconsin and our team certainly isn't going to be looking past anyone, because we know the second we do that, Northern has had a pretty good yep. historic program. And so it's certainly not anything we're looking beyond. But it is a balance for sure that you're trying to find, just the physicality of it. And obviously the Missouri Valley football season, we know, is always one that's going to have some bumps and bruises along the way. And so you're always trying to balance that for sure. But it'll be fun as we look to do some new things and have an opener night game and all kinds of things like that to try to draw some energy there as we do that one to open up and then head to Madison, Wisconsin for one that I know our team is hoping to compete in.
A lot to look forward to. GoYotes.com for all the latest season tickets available there. Season ticket office open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. That phone number in case you wanted to get your Yotes season tickets for football, 605-677-5959. Lastly, let's just talk about the first 6 months on the job. It seems like yesterday we were welcoming you and excited to talk about the vision. A lot has gotten done in 6 months. I got to say it's been impressive to follow along. I'm sure there's a lot of things on the horizon, a lot of goals still to be met and a lot of plans that are getting carved out. But the first 6 months, give us a recap and what's ahead for you in the program there in Vermilion.
Yeah, there's, you know, been a lot of change. And I think trying to set up and adapt to, you know, with the industry right now has been the number one priority, trying to set up to make sure we're set to best serve our student athletes in this new environment that we're heading into. It will continue to be a challenge that we face, but I feel great about the first 6 months. I feel really good about where we're at with our staff building and kind of a new structure and setup. And then, you know, kind of getting our priorities set with facilities and other things we're trying to do from a fundraising standpoint. We've had some success there. I think we've got our vision set and feel good about that. Our donors feel good about the direction. And so hopefully we can start setting them up and going forward there. You know, I think the biggest things as we look at is trying to preserve another 40, 50 years in the dome and doing everything we can to make sure we can do that, right? And the dome's iconic, but it's old.
Yep.
So we've got to take care of it, and so that'll continue to be a priority, and we've got some work to do there. But we're really excited about the future, and obviously there's a lot of energy heading into this fall, not just for football, volleyball, everything. You know, we're very, very excited.
Very blessed to have the USD on the map here near our community. All the best to you. That's Athletic Director John Schemmel. 6 months into the job. Feels longer than that with all the things that have gotten checked off the list so far. John, wish you all the best the rest of the summer into the fall. We'll talk again soon here on the show. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Athletic Director John Schemmel from down in Vermilion. USD Athletic Director, hired back in late December, started right out of the new year in January. Already a tremendous impact on the programs down there as we shift gears from spring to summer into fall. By the way, if you haven't checked it out and looked at that USD Coyote football schedule. They open up on a Thursday night, 7 o'clock, blackout theme, Northern State down in the dome. That is pretty darn cool. I love the fact that Augie's playing SDSU this year up in Brookings. You get another area school in Northern State coming south to Vermilion. Other home games this year, Drake, another regional school, Southern Illinois at home, UNI for Dakota Days. You got Indiana State and North Dakota State on the home schedule. Matchup between SDSU and USD will be in Brookings. That is October 26th on a Saturday. And again, football ticket info, season ticket information, goyotes.com. Just click on that tickets tab at the top of your screen. That's USD Athletic Director John Schemmel. We are going to take a break. We've got a lot to talk about from the NBA. Yes, we'll be talking Bronny James. Yes, we'll be talking Timberwolves. They made several trades yesterday and didn't make a pick in the second round. Give you the details there, why they did it, what they did it for, and everything else you need to know from the NBA last night into this morning. And right now, news coming in every single moment. NBA latest coming up next. Bronny to LA and so much more. Hang around for the remainder of hour number one. The latest from the NFL. Are the Kansas City Chiefs really going to Kansas, or are they staying in Missouri? We'll give you the latest on that topic and more when Overtime continues next, right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
It's so convenient on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday edition of Overtime. Thanks so much for tuning us in, as always, right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. If you ever missed any of the show, including our conversation moments ago with USD Athletic Director John Schemmel, podcast links are easy to find, ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. The big news yesterday from the NBA draft heading in was, where would Bronny James go? And the big news coming out is Bronny James in L.A. with his dad, LeBron James. Before Thursday, there had never been a father-son duo playing in the NBA at the same time. And now the first father-son pair are set to be teammates after the L.A. Lakers selected Bronny James, the oldest son of current star LeBron James, with the 55th pick in the second round of yesterday's draft. Bronny James wrote in an Instagram post yesterday, "Beyond blessed." The James family received the news while gathered together at an intimate dinner party in New York. Sources told ESPN LeBron's mother Gloria and wife Savannah's parents attended, along with some of Bronny's closest friends and confidants. Bronny, 19 years old, averaged 4.8 points, 2.8 boards, 2 assists in 19 minutes per game at his lone season at USC. Joined the Trojans in game action mid-season after being sidelined for nearly 5 months while recovering from a cardiac arrest episode that required surgery to treat a congenital heart defect. The 6'1", 210-pounder was medically cleared to be drafted by the NBA's Fitness to Play panel on the eve of the draft combine last month. Former McDonald's All-American saw his stock improve in Chicago during the combine, where he tested well in the agility drills and finished as one of the top performers in the three-point shooting drills. So yes, Bronny James was likely to end up in L.A. with his dad as a bargaining chip to get LeBron James to stay there. And now, in fact, the expectation has met the reality. Bronny James, LeBron James, I think, will be staying and playing together at least one season there in L.A. The Minnesota Timberwolves made several trades over the NBA draft time. Timberwolves traded a 2031 unprotected first and a protected 2030 pick swap to the Spurs to land their first overall pick at number 8 overall in Rob Dillingham of Kentucky. They got Terrence Shannon Jr. later on at pick number 27 in round number 1. And they had a couple picks yesterday in round number 2, but they officially swapped the number 53 pick to the Grizzlies for the number 57 pick, according to Shams Charania. And the Minnesota then sent the number 57 pick to the Toronto Raptors. So essentially, the Minnesota earlier in the day, by the way, agreed to trade shooting guard Wendell Moore Jr. and pick 36. 7 to Detroit earlier in the day. Pistons used that pick to select forward Bobby Klintman. Essentially, the Timberwolves yesterday made three deals to trade out of the second round. It was a cash-saving move for Minnesota. They already got two studs, two first-rounders. I don't think this is a big deal at all. Moved it around a little bit, get under certain cap thresholds for Minnesota, but that is the latest there from the Minnesota Timberwolves' perspective. The Dallas Mavericks have traded shooting guard Tim Hardaway Jr. and three second-round picks to the Detroit Pistons for shooting guard Quentin Grimes. That's according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. 32-year-old Hardaway is due $16.2 million next season in what is the final year of a four-year $75 million contract. As for Grimes, big-time cost-cutting move, he's due just $4.3 million in his final season of a rookie deal. The trade positions the Mavs positions the Mavs to be able to use part of the $12.9 million non-taxpayer mid-level exception. Dallas has been limited to the $5.2 million taxpayer mid-level with Hardaway on the book. So again, financial flexibility coming into the overall impetus for the deal there for Dallas moving shooting guard Tim Hardaway Jr. in exchange for the youngster Quentin Grimes. Guard Emmanuel Quickley is not going anywhere. He intends to sign a five-year, $175 million contract to stay with the Toronto Raptors. Quickley's agent, Raymond Brothers, reached the agreement with the Raptors front office within the last 24 hours, and now Quickley is part of the organization's long-term future. The 25-year-old was traded along with R.J. Barrett to the Raptors by the Knicks in the deal that sent OG Anunoby back to New York. And since his arrival, Quickley has established himself as a cornerstone player there in Toronto. He's now making cornerstone money, 5 years, $175 million. The trades keep on coming. The Sacramento Kings are trading former lottery pick Davion Mitchell and others, as well as the 45th pick in the NBA draft, to the Toronto Raptors in exchange for Jalen McDaniels. This went down last night. Mitchell, number 9 overall pick in the 2021 draft, averaged 5 points per game last year, and the point guard's best season came as a rookie, where he averaged 11.5 points per game. 45th overall pick was used on Houston guard Jamal Shedd. So again, move for shakers across the NBA. Those are just a few of the trades so far. Last one to recap here with you. The Denver Nuggets made a trade yesterday, traded point guard Reggie Jackson and three unprotected second-round picks to the Hornets in a move that'll open up salary cap space for Denver. Does it sound familiar? A lot of teams that are up there near the top of their luxury tax, up there looking to get down, finagle their way under certain thresholds. Denver, one of them. Reggie Jackson on the move. Three unprotected second-round picks to Charlotte, just to save some money. Denver, which is bumping up against the second apron and still has Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as a pending free agent, gets some significant savings moving off of Jackson's $5.25 million salary for next year. That's got to be something that truly only happens in the NBA as far as shipping off players and picks just to clear a salary. Seems awfully bizarre, but again, happened quite a few times yesterday across the league. Other news from the draft, it took an extra day, but Duke big man Kyle Filipowski finally heard his name called as part of the NBA draft. The 7-footer who played two seasons with the Blue Devils in Durham was taken with the 32nd overall pick yesterday afternoon by the Utah Jazz as the NBA debuted a new format that had the draft split into 2 days, with the first round being held Wednesday night and the second round yesterday afternoon and evening. Filipowski was one of two players, along with Kansas forward Johnny Furphy, who was invited to the NBA's green room for the first round, but was not selected on Wednesday night. Filipowski averaged 16 points and 8 rebounds as a sophomore and saw his weight end quickly Thursday as he followed University of San Francisco center Jonathan Mogbo, who was taken 31st overall by the Raptors to kick off the second round. Kyle Filipowski, now a member of the Utah Jazz. And lastly here, update on a pending available player across the NBA. The Clippers very much want to keep all-star guard Paul George, but have to see how things play out as he approaches Saturday's deadline to exercise his upcoming player option, which is worth $48.8 million. Clippers president of basketball operations Lawrence Frank said the team has had ongoing conversations with George and his agent. The Clippers can sign George to an extension worth up to 4 years and $221 million, but the two sides have yet to come to an agreement for months. If no extension is reached before Saturday's deadline, George can become a free agent or opt in to his deal to stay in the Clippers' plans or potentially in a sign-and-trade scenario. But for the Clippers, who signed Kawhi Leonard to a three-year, $150 million extension back in January, they're hopeful George will want to remain home and close to his family as he grew up in nearby Palmdale, California. That is the latest from the NBA. A lot to unpack, a lot to get to. The fit with the Lakers and Bronny James. Is LeBron a shoe-in to stay? I think so. I don't think of any other reason, any other scenario in which the Lakers would pull this move off, draft Bronny James, if the dad wasn't settled on staying there for at least the next chapter of his illustrious career. That's what we're thinking there. Now to shift gears to the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs' latest. There is some smoke. There is some fire. There are some flames. The potential move for the Kansas City Chiefs from Missouri to Kansas, right across the border. We'll tell you what the latest is there and some other news from the National Football League. That's coming up next. It's the Friday edition of Overtime, Friday, June 28th, as we make our way towards the weekend. Hang with us here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Back with more of Overtime after this.
Hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
If you've been waiting for football talk, you're in the right place at the right time. College and pro football, latest on the Kansas City Chiefs and more right now on this Friday edition of Overtime. Ever miss any of the show? Podcast links easy to find, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. And download the free ESPN Sioux Falls app to help your engagement with the show. Local sports-related articles and so much more available on that great mobile app. Still to come in hour number two, the High Noon Showdown, headlines of the day, Friday Parlay. Lulu Moreno, one of the many forwards on Sioux Falls City Football Club, will join us in studio to talk about the big matchup coming up tonight, number two versus number one at Bob Young Field, how to get tickets, and so much more on tap. That interview coming up at about 12:30. 12:45 gets you the latest and greatest in the good, the bad, and the ugly. But first things first, more good than bad, and just one blemish predicted for South Dakota State football, according to Hero Sports and Sam Herder. SDSU's football schedule this year has 8 MBFC games, 2 FCS non-conference matchups, 1 non-D1 opponent in Augustana, and 1 FBS game. Here are the game-by-game predictions for South Dakota State. We're not going to go through them all, but HeroSports.com has it right now for the top-ranked SDSU Jackrabbits ahead of the 2024 season. I know we're a couple months away, but I can't wait for college football. Anything they put out these days, predictions, All-American list, award finalists, award watch list, I'm all about, whether it's FBS, FCS, D2, D3, I can't get enough football. And Hero Sports thinks that the Jackrabbits will lose down in Stillwater to Oklahoma State in their opening game of the season. 29-game winning streak. Immediately tested against a Power 4 opponent. That feels weird to say, but that's the reality we're in. And it's currently the third longest streak in FCS history, trailing North Dakota State's 33-game and 39-game winning streaks. Again, 29 straight for SDSU. Oklahoma State, a very undervalued FBS program this year. They had the Doak Walker Award winner return in Ollie Gordon. And again, 4 offensive line starters are back. 10 defensive starters for the Cowboys. Sam Herder says, I expect a closer game than some in FBS land, but Oklahoma State will be too much for South Dakota State and pulls away for a 10-point win. That's the prediction from Sam Herder of Hero Sports. But if you SDSU Jackrabbit fans are feeling fired up about that prediction, you think that you're going to take down the Cowboys down in Stillwater, Sam Herder has you going and cleaning up the rest of the way. Win against UIW, win against Augustana, Southeastern Louisiana, Northern Iowa, and everyone else on the schedule, including North Dakota State, South Dakota, Murray State, North Dakota, Southern Illinois, Missouri State, the final game of the regular season. So Sam Herder has given a lot more love than other writers for the FCS level of college football. 11-1, the regular season prediction for the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. You can find it later on today at ESPNSiouxFalls.com or right now at Heroesports.com. One of the more undervalued rivalries in college football is coming back. Notre Dame and Michigan State are set to renew their football rivalry as soon as 2026 and 2027. Schools made the announcement yesterday. The Irish will host the Spartans in South Bend on September 19th of 2026. Then Notre Dame will travel to East Lansing the following September. Game times and broadcast partners will be announced at a later date. Notre Dame and Michigan State have met 79 times on the gridiron. First contest played all the way back in 1897. And again, since 1949, the winner has been presented the Megaphone Trophy, sponsored jointly by the Detroit alumni clubs of both schools. In the fall of 2026 will mark the 60th anniversary of the famous Game of the Century 10-10 tie between Notre Dame and Michigan State back in 1966. Notre Dame dominant in the all-time series that will be renewed in 2026. All-time record, Notre Dame Fighting Irish own it 49-29. And won that one tie again, Game of the Century, 10-10 tie back in 1966. Another quarterback we haven't talked too much about this offseason is Tennessee Titans second-year signal caller Will Levis. He looks back on his rookie journey and where he took over as the starter seven games into last season, and he recalled how he didn't like the way he was throwing the football. Quarterbacks are weirdos, Levis said at the start of minicamp. We're always tweaking something, always feeling like something might be off. The ball wasn't coming out the way I would have liked it to, and I just started to look at what potentially could be the cause. The decision to make tweaks to his throwing motion and his overall progression in the pocket is a joint project between Levis, new head coach Brian Callahan, and Holtz and quarterback's coach Bo Hardegree. Levis's personal position coach Rob Williams of quarterback motion will join that mix this summer. And again, the new head coach Callahan said that Levis has always had a natural quick release. And in year number one, Levis finished with 1,808 passing yards, 8 touchdowns against 4 picks in 9 games. So were there bright spots? Yes, there were. Is it an exciting future for Levis and the Titans? I wouldn't say so just yet, but I do think that's going to be an improved team under a first-year head coach. And is there another former Packer heading to the New York Jets? Fire up the debate cannons here, but this one has already been kiboshed as the Buffalo Bills have signed wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We knew that. Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers, though, has been spending some time with his former teammate training together this week. Valdes-Scantling played with Rodgers in Green Bay from 2018 to 2021, spent some years with the Kansas City Chiefs, won a couple Super Bowls there. Definitely not the overall impact on the field that he would like to make, but he signed with the Buffalo Bills. He'll be one of the leading receivers on the team, or at least they hope so. A deep threat there, but Marquez Valdes-Scantling back with working out with Aaron Rodgers, and Valdes-Scantling had this to say: me and Aaron have been great friends since I've been in Green Bay. I hit him up, told him I was coming out to L.A., and he said, let's run some routes. So we got in, went out to some high school, ran some routes together. We're good. It was good. Rodgers has taken an extended absence from the Jets mini camp and OTAs, looking to get back there, of course, for training camp. Much needed. They need the cohesion. They need the experience together there with the New York Jets, because like it or not, if you think the story is overblown, Aaron Rodgers has not practiced with that team in a full-time capacity in a very long time, an entire season off recovering from that Achilles injury. Rodgers has been around the facility. He knows the guys there, but a lot of field time, whether it be training camp, whether it be preseason time, I don't think he gets any snaps in the preseason for good reason, but Aaron Rodgers needs to be there for the New York Jets, and I don't think that is up for debate. Lastly here, an update on the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals. Missouri Governor Mike Parson said yesterday that he expects the state of Missouri to put together an aid plan by the end of the year to try to keep the Chiefs and Royals from being lured across state lines to new stadiums in Kansas. Missouri's renewed efforts come after Kansas approved a plan last week that would finance up to 70% of the cost of new stadiums for the pro football and baseball teams. We're going to make sure we put the best business deal we can on the line, the governor said yesterday, telling reporters while hosting the Chiefs' two most recent Super Bowl trophies at the Capitol. Look, I can't blame Kansas for trying, the governor said. You know, if I was probably sitting there, I'd be doing the same thing. But at the end of the day, we're going to be competitive. The Chiefs and Royals have played for over 50 years in side-by-side stadiums built in eastern Kansas City, drawing fans from both states in the split metro area. Their stadium leases run until 2031, but Royals owner John Sherman said the team won't play at Kauffman Stadium beyond 2030, expressing preference for a new downtown stadium. And again, the future is up in the air. Kansas has made their pitch, at least their early one, 70%. Pretty darn good. You get all these deals out and about, whether it be the Panthers, whether it be pro baseball teams and the negotiation with the city, the county, the state to keep the teams. I don't think this is a gigantically huge deal. I mean, I know there's Chiefs fans screaming at me through the radio right now. Leave them in Missouri. Don't sell them to Kansas. They're not moving far if they move. You're not losing your franchise. It's just a little bit further drive. You got to go to another state. And who knows? New facility could be a little bit sweeter, better venue. Although if I'm the Chiefs, I would try to keep as much as I can about the bones of Arrowhead in a new stadium. If there's a new stadium, or ideally, from an NFL perspective, from a guy that loves outdoor football, home field advantage, snow, sleet, wind, rain, whatever it is, keep Arrowhead, update the thing, and keep it as one of the hardest places to play in the entirety of the National Football League. That's the latest there on the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals. Could they be moving to Kansas? Yes, they could. But right now, we're just waiting till the end of the year to see what the state of Missouri has to say as they enter the chat. We take the break. We're coming back with the High Noon Showdown, headlines of the day, and so much more. Would you like to duke it out for a massive prize pack? The time to call is now, 605-362-3776. I got a fireworks certificate, Pyro Bucks down to Pyro City, and so much more in this prize pack. High Noon Showdown, 605-362-3776. I'll take caller one. I see you right now, and I'll take caller three for the High Noon Showdown coming up next on Overtime.